being here with you to discuss those things. Yeah, thank you.
Is it on?
Okay, so wait a second.
Okay, so first, how I have understood the Gilliland and Fiedler's approach. In my view, as far as I understand, traditional view of non-class involves an morphology, concord or agreement. There seem to be no difference between the two words, actually, as far as I could understand. And pairings, singular plural correspondences. And in the Tom and Innes approach, they renamed non-morphology as non-form class, agreement as agreement class, pairings they call it clensions, and then the reflection. And they added gender, which meant pairing of agreement patterns, which I think is really interesting and useful. And I also proposed to analyze those four subsystems separately, which doesn't mean that they are completely independent of each other, of course. First problem is, but it's really just for fun, because page 2 they say gender is understood here in terms of Corbett anti-1. And then page 8, the present approach is opposed to Corbett's 91 approach. So actually they discuss the problem of control of gender and target gender, and I think the Corbett's control of gender is what you call the tension or the reflection. And Corbett's target gender is your gender, but maybe not, so we can discuss later.
Yes.
Another problem, which is more relevant for the rest of the talk, is about transnumeral. I really like this notion of transnumeral, and especially because it is defined in a very efficient way. I mean, it's nouns which do not have different number forms, which is very easy to spot in a dictionary. That doesn't mean that we have all the data. Sometimes data are incomplete, and sometimes nouns are not really transnumeral. But still, it's very useful just to have that criterion to extract transnumeral nouns. But there are also problems. There are some tree number contrasts in Nune, for example, and I will show more about that. And there are other unusual number contrasts, namely singulative against collective. And there are also variation in class assignment, which is something unavoidable in such complex systems. So I won't tell a lot about that. So this talk will be about, it will be an overview of complex number features. And examples will be in Atlantic, and especially in BAC, but also a bit in Nune, which is nice for that too. So the BAC languages are, as you have already understood from this morning, that they are spoken in the southern region of the Atlantic area. It's namely southern Senegal and Guinea-Bissau. And I will concentrate on Kagbaga, which is one of the dialects of Bijogo, and Kerak. So both languages I did the fieldwork myself, so it's my own data. And a bit on Nune, which is not BAC, but which is spoken in the same area, and for which there is a nice work by Alexander Kovina. And so Nune first. So in Nune, in Alexander Kovina's PhD thesis, he speaks about three-way number contrast, namely singular, count plural, and unlimited plural. It has been evoked this morning already. What is very special in Nune about this three-way number contrast is that what he calls count plural is really a plural which is tested only in conjunction with numbers, with actual numbers, 3, 4, 5. So if you say some snakes, you won't say you say just if you don't precise the number. And what I call unlimited plural is other plurals. We could also call that collective. For me, it doesn't matter. But what is funny about that is that if you look at the classes that are used, there is a, you see something red here? It's beneath this thing, there is the Rang class noted. So you see that there is no overlap. The singular classes, the plural classes, and the unlimited plural classes are never the same. And even more, you can draw a subsystem of relations between all those. And you can. There are two theoretical solutions to make that kind of relations. You can either consider that the singular count plural is a regular singular plural pairing, and then the unlimited plural is something added. Or you can consider the reverse. Singular unlimited is a regular one, and count plural would be added. So okay. There are two ways of considering this three-way contrast. So it's easy to check, actually. So is it Ran, Niang against Jia, or Ran, Jia against Nian? Well, actually, it's the first one. Because you can see that this pairing is attested with many other nouns, and it's regular, and it's one of the normal pairings of the system. So what is added here is the unlimited plural, or collective. So this is something that can be said to come next. So unlimited plural is an addition. And now we can also, with the new data, I couldn't draw the whole big table with all these links because it would be too long and it's not in Alex Kobina's work. But I could make this table, which is about all the number features of all the noun form classes. And you see that it's not as easy as it could seem. There is singular, there is transsingular, and in the plural there are three columns. It counts plural, unlimited plural, and regular plural. And there is another column in the singular, is classes that don't correspond to another plural class, but for which plural is made by adding a suffix. And so you can group those together, which is already done with the boxes, but you can give labels to those boxes. So This one is strict singular, only singular for those classes. Those are singular or transsingular. Those are split, gender number split. That means for those classes, gender and number are dissociated because the plural is the same as the singular, but with a suffix added for plural, which also appears on agreeing elements. Then there is a transnumeral and a gender number split, and then singular transnumeral gender number split, and then complex, which with both singular and plural features, and then plural and transnumeral, or strict plural, or strict transnumeral. And so you can group again, and you have a singular group, then a gender number split group, then a complex one, a plural one, and a transnumeral. So you see, it's a bit more complicated than just singular and plural.
Can you quickly say what's the second last column? I mean, the CP is,
CP is count plural,
the unlimited plural,
yes.
And what's plural?
Plural is where you don't have this three-way contrast.
Ah, okay.
Just regular plural.
Point of it.
And so that's for you. And now let's go to Kerak, which is member of the Diola cluster, so it's very closely related to Fonyi, but different in some respects, and especially in the non-class system. Not for the font, actually, but for the use of the font, which is funny. And in Kerak, we do have a three-way number contrast. I term it singular plural collective, which for me is more meaningful and more logical, because and especially because the plural is not counted plural. I mean, it can appear with numbers, but it can also appear without numbers. So it's not the same restrictions as in Nun. And I give here a few examples. And in red are all the noun form classes that participate in this three-way contract. And we can now ask the same question as for Nune, whether it's a single crawl, then we add a collective, or the reverse. And so we can draw this small picture, and we can look at the pairings, and we can see that it's exactly like in Nune, the collective classes are the ones that have been added to the regular single crawl classes. And the words that that fall into that category are words denoting small animals, stars, small fruits, the things that are typically seen as collective in many contexts. There are other marginal number contrasts in the very poorly attested and very not problematic, but maybe it's not about really about number, but for example, the word for truth, which Denis mentioned as having no plural, the speakers whom I asked, someone gave me a plural form for truth. I don't know if it's really used. I don't know if he gave that to me just to please me. I don't know that. Anything can happen that you cannot trust all data.
Different truths of Trump's news. Different truths of Trump's.
Your truth and his truth.
Maybe, yeah. why not? I don't know.
Iota.
And same for brain, but brain is sometimes plural in some languages, or say brains or brain, I don't know the difference in English, for example. And also this funeral dance, which Denis called mourning, is the same word, Nicoline, which has a plural ukulau, which is very rare. Actually, all the nouns in the near class don't have plural generally. So that's there are a few marginal number contrasts. And then there are also some variations in noun class assignments. And especially in the singular, because when there is variation in the plural, you can always consider that one of the forms is regular plural and the other one is collective, for example, which is generally the case. But when it's in singular, it's more difficult to understand exactly what's going on. So I won't spend a lot of time here. There are some variations. And now we can. I managed to design these tables to be in line with the general atmosphere of this workshop. And so I limited myself to the pairings attested more than 10 times in my data. I have 2,000 nouns corpus, so it's quite big, so more than 10, I think it's okay. On the left. And on the right, I added all the marginal pairings, which are not that many actually, but goes from 13 relations to 19. And there is something special about the A-E pairing, because E is a plural for human, some nouns not in human beings. But I'm not that sure whether it makes some of its concord like the other E class, or only like the Q class, which is the regular plural for A nouns. But there's confusion here in my data, so that's why it's the dotted line. And so now you can compare the declension and gender. As you can see, only three pairs of classes conflate to give this gender pattern. And so there are 10 genders for 13 relations, which is not very far away. And you can see that the zero prefix nouns don't appear here. It's because they are attested less than 10 times in general. Because in Yola, borrowings, for example, they always take a prefix, which is generally in the A class. And the plural is regularly in the third class. which will, it's not the case in Bijogo as we will see soon. And so now we can also compare this with the other pictures for collectives. And we can see that the collectives that are here are only the classes and only the classes that appear both on the singular and the plural side. So these are those classes have the potential of being a singular or a plural or a collective. Which is nice, actually, because a collective is a kind of singular meaning plural, or there's something in between, I mean, for collective. And when it comes to gender, that doesn't change a lot. So you have those genders here that are entitled, okay. And actually, yes, what you can see here, you can't see here, is that the genders that are implied, so those ones, are actually the most frequent ones. These are the most regular genders that are mostly attested. So apparently only those ones can lead to a collective, an additional collective, which is interesting. And so I did the same table that I did with Nguyen, but instead of putting only crosses in the cells, I put the actual numbers because I could count, because I had the whole corpus. And I also named the groupings, and it's a bit different from you. What's interesting here is that the strict singular and the strict plural are only the human classes, which is funny. All the other classes have different number values. And I make no hypothesis for the moment about on how it became like it is, but I find it quite interesting. And if you look at the complex number classes, you see that it's not the unusual features are not marginal, except maybe for this one, with only two occurrences, but all the other ones are quite well attested, so it's really classes that go everywhere. And voila. And in the bottom of the table, you see the non-singular classes, those that never appear in the singular, which are mostly regular plurals, and for this A class, I'm still the same as before when there was a dotted line, the same one, which is, I don't know whether to consider it a plural or a collective. It's not very clear. In some cases, the pairings are limited to R in the singular and A for more. But in some cases, there's a threefold position too, so not very clear. And also this EK agreement pattern, it might be only K, actually, so it might be different, so well, I have to look more into the data. And now let's look at Bijogo. Kagbaga is the dialect on which I work. So it's ancient data that I looked again. Here is the general table of concord marking in Bijogo, where you can see that compared to many of the systems that we looked before, today and yesterday, in Bijogo every non-class form has its own different and distinct agreement pattern. There are a few cases of conflation for some demonstratives here, and that might be the beginning of unification of agreement patterns, but for the moment being, all agreement patterns differ from each other, so it's very different. There won't be a lot of difference between the declension of the system and gender system. And so here's the gender system first. And in red you see the non-class forms that are singular and plural. And here is the declension system where I had to add this zero marking, which actually is for the loanwords, borrowings, that don't take any prefix in the singular, but take a co-prefix in the plural. And so, and for the concord, they always behave exactly like the E now. So the same Concord in the same agreement pattern. So it's an instance of the E Concord class, but it's a different noun form. So that's why two. And there's one exception, zero giving nga, which I don't remember, what was it? Maybe the two or three names, I don't remember right now. I should have put them here. Sorry. I organized these lines in a way that shows that there are a few subsystems inside the system. The human gender is 1, 2, is fixed and it's very regular. There's not much to say. And there is a 1-to-many relationship here and a many-to-one relationship here, which is symmetric, and then a complex one here. So, I don't know exactly what to conclude from that, but just that is. It looks like the system is organized in a very beautiful way. And so the table with a number of features, where here you can see that there's only one class that is used for collective, it's the A class, and in my 1,000 noun corpus, I have only 8 cases of A marking collective. So, contrary to Nguyen or to Gerhard, in Bijogo, the collective is not something that, that takes a lot of importance. So it's attested, but marginally, we can say. And also, since there is no collective, but there are a lot of transformers, as you can see, except of the strict singular and the strict plural, all the noun classes can have transformer nouns. I included two nouns that don't participate in gender or in declension systems because the ba class is a pejorative which can be which can replace any other noun class prefix and that carries a pejorative and augmentative meaning. And interestingly, there is no singular plural opposition for this class. It's used as same way for singular and plural and not marked at all, which is for me. A system where all the classes do have a place in the pairing system. This one doesn't have. And there's a locative class. There's only one noun, which is transformer, which is wall, which is a place. And but it serves as an agreement class for place names. Okay. And I also added here, since there are numbers in the cells, I also added here that the null class, which is null actually, is also used for infinitives, so there are many verbal nouns here, which I didn't count because it's a bit special. So here it is, and I think that's what I wanted to show you. It's for the chance.
Well, you brought us back on schedule, at least, and of course, nevertheless, many other interesting data. So, questions?
Yeah, thank you very much for your presentation. I found it very interesting what you told us about the three-way number distinction with singular, count plural, and unlimited plural. And I observed a similar phenomenon also in Kisi, which is only poorly described tried by Childs. It's seems like that that there's a class E from which there can be formed a singulative le, and then I think it's a limited plural with a nasal exponent. Mm-hmm. And in Limba, there's also such a phenomenon which is only described marginally by Barry. For example, I think it's, for example, who, ta, na, I think singular, pauka, plural, and ku, ba, and I think, also now.
Yeah, it's interesting, and actually I think that in the descriptions of NAMPLA systems, there is not much importance given to that kind of thing. It's, in the best cases, it's described as marginal, but yeah, I'm sure that that can be found in many more languages than we think. Yeah.
I have, I guess, first a comment about the binomial stuff. So, I mean, when people talk about singular versus plural or number, is they're usually talking about a purely grammatical feature, that is to say, it's determined by either agreement on some target or by a pronoun that can stand in for it. Now, on the other hand, you could talk about singular and plural from an entirely semantic point of view. Does this class seem to refer to plural entities in the real world? And for something like Bantu, or from what I understand, Bach languages, that's mainly what you base singular and plural on, because pronouns agree in class, right? There's not a separate grammatical feature of number, right? The only thing you can really do, grammatically speaking, is say, can you modify this noun with the number one? Can you modify this noun with a numeral two or higher? But so speaking about the binomial case, I really, as we said earlier, I think we should abandon this term of unlimited plural.
Sure. I just used the Covina.
I understand. So, but it's not a plural at all. Grammatically speaking, in Guber and in Kobiana, the agreement is singular, because those languages, that group, does have a grammatical singular-plural distinction. That's what verb agreement is. That's what pronoun agreement is. And interestingly, so Bayan Gunyamalo actually went the other way. Those collective semantically classes now actually, unfortunately, Baljob does not give verb or pronoun examples, but does give examples with numerals higher than one. And you can modify, you know, those classes like Ja collective. You have Ja Pony grass, and you can, she gives an example, two grasses, and I don't know if that means kinds of grass or blades of grass, but whatever it means, you can't do that in Kobiana, you can't do that in Guber. So then I guess my question is, when you came up with your charts for the Bach languages, how did you determine whether you want to call a class singular, collective, transnumeral, or plural?
That's a good point. Transnumeral is not my invention, it's Tom and Ines. So I use that. If I have a noun that appears with only one class and no alternation of class prefix associated with an alternation in number, so I call it transformal. Whether it's a gap in the data or if it's a true transformal, I don't know actually. It might be a gap in the data. And for collective, it's the contrary. If there is a three-way contrast, then one of the not singular is termed collective. Depending on what I learned from the informants, I mean, it's sometimes people say that. Sometimes people say you use this when there's a lot, or you use this when it's undifferentiated, or that kind of explanations. But I could not, of course, show all the detailed stuff. But yes, but that's basically what it is. When there's two-way contracts, it's single plural. If it's three-way contracts, it's single plural corrected. When there's a one-way contrast, it's transformal.
But you have to kind of just rely on the semantic reference to determine.
Yes, yeah, because actually the concord is always with the NAMPLA prefix and never with something else which would mark a plural search or what. So that doesn't exist in Kerak and in Bijogo. It happens in Nuun, and especially with the gender split nouns. So it's maybe the beginning of something that will gain the whole system. I don't know. Could be, but it's not the case at the moment in Bach, so I don't need to. Just right.
So I was wondering on that question, where do you think this collective marker came from?
Well, as I showed here, it's I don't know if it's it's interesting to see. First, there's a Haag class which is only for collectives, actually. And then the three other red ones, Ba, B, and A, are both singular and plurals, and only those ones are both singular and plurals in other pairings. So that qualifies them in a way to be used for a collective, because they are not really marked for number. They have a number feature in their contrast with others. So if they contrast with a class which is completely singular, then it will be a plural. And if they contrast with a class which is completely plural, then they will be a singular. But when they contrast with a pairing, they will be a collective. That kind of thing.
Interesting.
Are there any so-called diagnostic nouns in certain classes?
Yes, there are.
Class 5, Auge um Auge, Zahn um Zahn, eye, and so on. Are there
also comparative levels? Not the comparative level, yeah. No. At the language level, yes, there are.
Yeah.
In the cluster, in Jola, there are some nouns that we can expect to find in some classes, like. Sure. Like shame will be in a class near, or an individual that it's funny that the noun for smoke will be in a smoke class, which is a class for plural normally, and not a collective. That are some interesting, not really exceptions, because there are exceptions to otherwise marginal rules, so there's not really exceptions, but a few special things that occur here and there. And it would be very long and complicated to name them all.
Yeah.
Did I understand you correctly that you think that the pairing singular plural would be more basic and collective was a new development? Because I think, as Jake already said, from the semantics, we found a lot of things in these triadic number propositions, which are, from the semantics, rather collective, so termites or leaves and grass and things like that. And from there, or maybe one can really split all these cases. One case where you have a collective at first hand, and then you make a singular teeth out of it, and then, for instance, for hair, and then you have one single hair, and then maybe it's three hairs out of it. But there are other cases where you have normally a countable noun, and then you get a plural, and you may have then a collective
form. I understand what you mean. And actually, I didn't really mention, but in Vitago, it's more or less the case where for some nouns, which typically appear in one form, you can extract, like for rice, you can say a grain of rice, which is another class, which will really be called singular teeth.
Yeah.
But in Indiola, I didn't see the same kind of behavior. I mean, typically all those classes that can appear in triads here, the singular plural pairs are regular ones. They are not special ones.
Listen,
if it began with a singular collective or with a collective only, it would be more complicated to see how the arrows could go the other way around, for example. Because these classes are have this ability to go either one or as a singular plural way, so that's why maybe they are chosen to express.
Yeah, but that is also, one could also say that is why they started out as a transformer.
My question was going in the same direction. Our last talk possibly will actually inform this whole issue too. But I also, I was wondering how you. I also couldn't understand why you are sure that the collective is the secondary and added number value, because you could just think EB bar were the original unmarked noun forms, so transneural in line with HA. And then you'd start to distinguish from an unmarked default form, singular and a plural variety. And that, of course, then basically we turn it upside down. Yeah. That explains why exactly those three classes with other nouns can turn up as singular and plural. You see, okay, the speaker knows vague and ba is vague, and that's why I don't care. I also use it for.
I agree. That's that can be, sure. But, yes.
I saw that you have integrated or have given one prefix, semantic value priorative.
Yeah. Yes, in Vitago, yes.
So if you do this, it would be, if this is your point of view in this way, yeah, it would be necessary to reflect about the fact that we have, in our languages, we have another two prefixes having another semantic view, semantic value, and it would be also necessary to integrate this in the in user system. But this would mean that it is a system very, yeah, obligated. For example, diminutive and so on. No? You can change.
For example, what?
Diminutive.
Oh, no, it's different. Diminutives in general, they participate in singular plural pairings, mm-hmm. which is I included this here because it has this special behavior that other classes don't have in this language. That is, it doesn't participate in any member opposition, and it's not a locative class. So it's really special, when, but there are not. I don't really know how many names can have this prefix, and my corpus is not big enough to know that. But it's here because of that. It's a transneural, which is not transneural in the same way as other transneural.
Yeah, it's clear, but for
other. Other diminutives, I think they don't behave like it, they are marked for a number. And,
I'm a little bit, really surprised, but I'm a little bit surprised that your infinitives can't form plurals, since you can form virtually plurals from everything, more or less.
That's one of the reasons to call them infinities, actually. Otherwise, we can have verbal nouns or that kind of thing. They don't form plurals. This is a very nice, interesting question, infinities. And I hope one day we have this kind of workshop just around infinities, because it's really fascinating. But in those languages they don't form plurals. Uh-huh. But you can form other kind of nouns from verbs that will have plurals.
Yeah, action nouns.
It's like, for example, in French, courir, c'est un adjectif, il n'y a pas de courir, mais course, on peut faire plusieurs courses. Yeah. C'est un nom verbal, c'est autre chose.
Yes, but courir is not a noun which would fit in a noun class system.
No, French has no real noun class system, but if you say you can have a gender for an infinitive, le manger, on peut dire.
Yeah.
So it's within noun system in general, but you cannot say le manger, you can say le manger. Chacun vient avec son manger.
In Waja, the infinitive or verbal nouns are formed with the ku class as it is somehow very common in Volta Congo, and they can form plurals.
No.
Yeah. Which is used for, because it is required for...
Yes, but I mean, that's language specific.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's a fact of the language that it doesn't form a plural. Yeah. I'm
only wondering if there is languages who form plural.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
fine. What occurs in Ndola languages is that the same prefixes can be added to verb stems to form either infinitives or verbal nouns,
right, yeah,
which are quite distinct syntactically and morphologically too, since verbal nouns do not take any verbal prefix and behave grammatically simply as nouns, whereas infinitives are compatible with some verbal suffixes and occur in constructions, for example, as complements of modal verbs, where you never find a noun. And what is a bit complicated is that, and the speakers are fully aware of that, with some verbs, the infinitive and the verbal noun are homonymous. They use the same prefix, whereas with other, and the speakers do not hesitate in giving the information. With other verbs, the infinitive and the verbal noun take two different prefixes. For example, we take educate, cool. You have a cool is an infinitive. Kakur is education. And you can make a plural. But interestingly, the same prefix ka occurs as an infinitive prefix with other verbs. So that in some sense, there are very clear principles in the organization of the system. What makes the same thing a bit messy is that the same prefixes are used to form the verb or noun with some verbs and the infinitive with others, and there are verbs that use the same prefix to form the infinitive and the verb or noun. I think it's a Pagnola with additional complications.
Oh, yes. Manjal,
since in Manjal there's a wider variety of possible prefixes for infinitives. And what, but this has been nicely described by Serge Sanya.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's have a break for the.
Thank you.